Hello, this is the Football Fans Podcast and the people behind Celtic Underground.net, the Football Fans Podcast of the 7-in-a-row champions. What a wonderful day.
Sunday morning, up with the lark, I think I'll take a walk in the park.
Today was absolutely bloody brilliant. From the very first minute we were up for it, and we could talk about the season as a whole, give it that context. That's been another day. We could also talk about the self-denial and the dreadful position that our opponents are in, but who cares? This is about today's performance and winning the title for the seventh time in a row. We've got Bruni, followed by Stephen Ray, interrupted by Edward, then James Forrest, and then we get Stephen Ray again, then Cal Mack, then Brendan Rodgers. Enjoy. When you say that you love me, oh
my, it's a beautiful day. Yep. Well, how does that feel?
No, it's lovely, the way we've done it as well. Sunshine in front of our own fans, the Rangers as well. It was all about our performance today. We let ourselves down last week against Hibs, but we managed to bounce back, and we talked about how we bounced back, and in style we've done it today as well.
Surely can't get much sweeter, given everything.
Yeah, I think the start, the way we've pressed, and we've worked on it all week in training, how we're going to press, how we're going to play, and we've demonstrated that out in the park. And it's the first time the title's been won against Rangers for a long, long time at Celtic Park, so it's great. It's a great honour to be here while we've done it.
Is that your most satisfying derby win, because it's the first time?
Yeah, there's been a lot of wins against Rangers recently, but that's got to be up there. We've managed to keep a clean sheet as well. But just the emotions of today, how we played, and the kind of style that we wanted to play, and the pitches are starting to get good as well due to the 10 degrees that we're getting now. So, it's all coming good at the right time.
You thought it would be disrespectful to your opponent? The chance you created at Grays, double-fledged.
Yeah, it was all about how we played, as I say, and take nothing away from Rangers. We were outstanding today from start to finish, and every single player there worked as hard as they possibly could, gave everything in the game, and we knew we wanted to win it today, and that was what we managed to do.
No Dembele, but very much credit to Edward for coming on and scoring two.
Yeah, he was magnificent. As I say, from start to finish, his hold-up play, his work rate. When he was one-on-one with a defender as well, he fancies his chance to score a goal, and he managed to get two great goals today, and Pep couldn't have got his hat-trick.
So you went 5-0 up, there was over half an hour,
still goals.
There's one disappointment. There is one, maybe.
There's no disappointments today. I'm not going to lie, the way we played. We're 5-0 up and you're talking about disappointment. Come on.
Did you genuinely not think the team could have gone
on
to 6 or 7 or 8?
Yeah, it's just, we created chances, it's just going in the back of the net at that time, but we've managed to win 5-0, we've got to take every single positive from that. We'll reflect the game in the next couple of days, and if there's something that we could have done better and scored a couple more goals, then we'll take that, but to be perfectly honest, 5-0 at home to win the league is outstanding.
I think that's the biggest ever league win against Rangers, biggest margin of victory against them. I mean, how sweet is that?
Yeah, as I say, it was all about us today, and it was about the style we played. And we let ourselves down last week, not being able to win the league at Easter Road, but we've bounced back unbelievable. We've had a good week in training, and it showed in the park.
Was it neat you, Scott, to captain this team during, captain the club during this time?
Yeah, to do 7 in a row as well was fantastic, but there's a lot more work ahead now. We've got a couple more games before a cup final as well. We're going to a warm weather training camp as well, so we'll be looking forward to that.
Is the objective now to maintain this form up to the cup final, not to get your foot off the gas and keep going?
Yeah, this place is up for grabs in a cup final now, so everyone will be want a chance as well, and I'm sure the gaffer will rest a couple of players here and there, but it's all about our willingness to win now and to keep going and to produce that form week in, week out. And we've got a few hard games left, but we're looking forward to it.
The emphasis on Tenerife being work or anything
else? Work.
How much is it also about making sure that you show the other teams that it's going to be just as hard for them next year?
Yeah, because we're going to get better. We're going to get there's a lot more time now for us to focus on training. You usually get weeks between games now, so we can work on tactics a lot more and work on how we're going to press teams, because sometimes when it's Saturday, Wednesday, it's hard to make sure you're getting that kind of consistency into training to work on our formation, to work on our style of play. But we've managed to get that in this week, and that's what's going to help us as well.
John, how did the Tenerife thing come about?
You're buzzing with this Tenerife,
yeah?
You're not coming.
That's what he's trying to get
to. You're not going in my suitcase even though you're small enough. You're coming. You roll it.
You've mentioned players, Scott. Who would you pick out? Who would you, now that you've got the championship, who would you single out for praise? I know it's a team effort, but...
As I say, it's from start to finish this season, you saw how good Jamesy Forrest was today. He was outstanding. Odson's came on. He's done brilliant when he's came on, when he's got the chance. And we've got three great strikers there that are all capable of scoring goals and creating chances and holding the ball up. So it's strength and depth in the squad, and it's about the together on this as well, and the will to win for us.
Ayer at the back's really coming to Old Firm games and taking it with relish as well.
Yeah, he's some size, to be perfectly honest. He seems to be enjoying it as well. He's getting more confident on the ball. He's aggressive in the air. And him and Dedo's partnership's been brilliant at the back since he came in.
10 in a row, Scott.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm joined once again by Stephen Ray. How are you doing?
I'm brilliant. Yourself, Brian?
Absolutely fantastic. So I'm in the middle of having a cup of tea to try and get my voice to calm down. Actually, the main reason my voice went... Christopher Ayer and me seem to be the two most agitated people about Morella should have got a red card at 5-0.
Do you know... I remember something happened down in the corner, but I didn't see it. I was too busy doing something else. I think I was too busy, singing or jumping about like an idiot or something. So I don't know. I've not had a chance to watch it back. I've only seen the goals back, to be honest. So I'll catch that one later.
Nobody round, because people around me were asking, because I was going mental, that basically the ball was, that way when a defender's shielding the ball and the ball's running out of the park.
Yeah.
And Morelos just ran in, and they didn't show you on the highlights on BBC. Morelos then just ran in, and with his, like, a forearm smash you would have had in old-fashioned wrestling on the back of Boyata's head. I mean, there was nothing other than intent with his elbow to hit Boyata in the head.
There was one last night I watched on Match of the Day, quite similar to what you're describing there, Swansea, on the boy on Cahill for Chelsea. Just... there was no reason for it other than just to do him. So I'll catch that one.
So Boyata turns around and not happy about it. Craig Thompson obviously saw it because he booked him. So he's been booked for deliberately elbowing by Boyata in the head,
which means he can't get done
again.
Follow.
And I was going mental because she thought it should have been a straight red.
Aye, so he'd have been the first Rangers player to ever get cheered on the park and then cheered off the park if he got a red.
Anyway, that's that. Craig Thompson, we were talking about Craig Thompson, because I get on the team in a minute. Craig Thompson also missed, he wasn't going to give a foul, then he wasn't going to book Jason Cummings for the foul on Tierney, when again I thought possibility that's a straight red. He went over and spoke to him, and it was only his linesman who again seemed to bring it, pull him over, and then he went back and booked Cummings.
Well, I'm in the top tier of the North Upper, and it was right below me. And I said to the guy next to us, I was like, he's not going to book him. He's just going to talk to him. And it wasn't until the lino said something to him, and then eventually he booked him. I don't think he was even going to give a free kick at first, to be honest. So it was a bit of a shocking challenge. I think if that comes at 5-0, I think he's off.
No, actually, I think at 5-0, it would have been sympathy reffing.
What, you think so?
I would have been sympathy reffing, and they're getting a doing anyway, so I'm not...
Yeah.
So, anyway, on to the team.
Yes.
It's pretty much the team that we predicted a couple of days ago.
Well, I was trying to think about it. I can't remember... I think you were wrong in the same lines as me, that just go with the same team as the semi on the presumption that Lustig and Dembele was fit, and if Dembele wasn't fit, then it was Edward or Hedy Griffiths. That's what we were saying. I'd seen people saying, on Twitter and stuff like that, saying, oh, get Griffiths in, but I couldn't see it. The boys, Griffiths had a shocker last week, and Edwards came on and scored, so, and he scored at Ibrox against him, so I didn't see any reason why he didn't go with him, you know. It just seemed logical in my opinion.
Well, and one of the things that I've been impressed by with Edward, you know, I think sometimes when you look at a player, you're looking think, even if he's not delivering straight away, you're looking to think, is there something about him that makes me think he could turn into a player, or is this just his ability? That's what you're looking for. So yeah. Cham's a prime example of that. Not great at the beginning, but you're looking at him thinking, no, there's something about him. You can see once he gets going, he's a player. And Edward keeps getting into the right positions. And he has scored some good goals.
Yes. Especially one-on-one with the keeper, which Griffiths is pretty poor at.
But which we'll get on to that in a minute. but I'm pleased to say that my thoughts that Edward should have been on were last night. Somebody had sent a message to me saying that Edward was going to start ahead of Griffiths. And somebody else in the group who occasionally appears on our podcast had said he's too lightweight for me, and I'm pleased to say that my message back was, Edward has been good at holding the ball up in the European games he's come on. He's closer in style to Dembele than Griffiths. Plus, if you want one more review of his big game ability, this is it. So I'm pleased to say that last night I was advocating the Edward. And if anybody knows Big Ronnie from Ardrossan, who sits next to me at the games, who virtually mid-sentence was bemoaning that Griffiths should have started when Edward put the ball in the back of the net. So that was excellent. So we start the game. So what do you think of the first 5-10 minutes?
I thought we were right at it. It was the complete opposite of last week. We got a hold of the game really quickly. Created some chances. It was that much of a whirlwind. It was, you know, a way you're struggling to take it all in, and you've still got, I mean, the game's on, the league's on the line today, and you know the nerves are kicking in, so you know I wasn't taking it all in as much as I would if I had a chance to watch it back. But I just remember that we had numerous amounts of corners, shots, and I think the keeper pulled off a save or two. So I just, at that point, I started to think, yeah, I think we're right up for it today, and if we grab an early one, it could be a bit of a score. It was a good start to the game. What about yourself? What are you thinking?
Oh, you just realised we were up for this. We were up for it big time. They were obviously not going to try and be as passive. They seemed to be having a technique to want to try and press us further up the park. But actually, that then, which is the reason why I thought about Edward playing, because Edward's better at holding the ball up than Griffiths, and so if they're going to try and push us further up the park, they're not the most mobile of teams, so you just play over the top of them.
Yeah.
And Gordon hit a few kick-outs that went a bit long, and, you know, what was it, 3 corners inside the first 5-6 minutes, something like that. Yeah.
We spoke about that the other day. We were talking about De Vries would knock it a bit longer, but Gordon would knock it to sort of 35, 40 yards out to the touchline. But today, he definitely started going longer. And even the ones that he was putting out wide were further up the park. So if we didn't win that initial header or the second ball, it was at least sort of still in the halfway line, you know, and we still had a sort of full defence and at least a midfielder to cover. So we definitely, Gordon was playing it a bit safer today. Although he had a few shockers later on in the game, he got away with. But
we'll get on to that about Gordon and our defence in the last sort of, once we were 5-0 up, but they switched off a bit. But the first goal actually came from Edward. He had an opportunity to put Rogic through.
That's right, didn't. I remember. Aye,
and then he had an opportunity to put Forrest through.
Yeah,
and didn't. Well,
the one that he should have put Rogic through, you know, that was a glaring that he should have passed that, and he just, too greedy, you know, he's gone for glory. He's probably a similar kind of, you know, probably in his mind that he's running at defenders, same as the game at Ibrox, and he was just trying to sort of find the top corner, but he definitely should have passed that. And then I remember shouting at the time, there was one where Forrest was the clear and obvious pass, and it didn't go that way, it went the other way, and we lost it. So, I wasn't worried or anything that we were just starting to miss too many chances. I just felt it was going to come eventually, but just it was just about picking the right pass in the right moment.
Well, the one with where he should have played Rogic and then should have played Forrest was in the same move that he shot, then created the corner kick that then eventually led to the goal.
Yeah.
And again, a bit like in the Hamilton game, when we get to the byline, put a cross in and put the ball in the back of the net, and you're thinking, just do that more often.
Aye, that was easy. Yeah, I mean, Tierney's, you know what Tierney's going to do. I think it was Candace he was up against. So you know he's going to stand you up, he's going to get you sort of square on, and then he's going to bust past you on the outside. So from a Rangers point of view, you'd be thinking, try and push him inside. But as soon as he hits that byline, you know, it's just about finding the pass. But what I've seen in the replays of that Edwards' first goal, he's the only Celtic player in amongst four or five Rangers players. So to get his toe on the end of it, you know, he's done well. It was a bit of a sniffer kind of goal, you know, in the 6-yard box.
Well, that's the other thing that I think is interesting. There was a game, I can't remember when it was, at some point this season when both Griffiths and Dembele were on the park, and Kieran Tierney got to that position and put the ball across. There was nobody there because both Griffiths and Dembele had pulled back to the centre, to the centre's penalty spot.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, Tierney should have played it back, cut it back to them if he'd looked up. But at the same time, we've got two strikers who both their instinct was, I'm going to pull off the shoulder of this defender here and get to the penalty spot, and instead of going to inside the 6-yard box. And that's what Edward did fantastically well. He went inside the 6-yard box, and
yeah,
it was brilliant.
That was a great finish, and it's at that point, you know, the nerves are settled, and you just think to yourself, this is on, you know, this is going to be more than a 3 that I predicted. But the strange thing is, Rangers actually, they weathered that part of the game, and obviously they've went one down, and then they started to get a wee bit of a foothold in the game, and you know, we sort of stepped off them a wee bit. And there was a chance that they had, and Cummings was offside, but the ball didn't go to him. I think it went to Candace. It was either Candace or Windass. And all Windass had to do was just find him with a straight ball, because Cummings was behind him, so he wasn't going to be offside. And he just took too many touches. And I think it might have been Ayer or Boyata that go back and just cleared it.
Yeah, that's right. It was because I remember actually commenting that it wasn't dissimilar to what we just had in terms of all you need to do is get to the byline and put the ball across.
Yeah.
And it should have been a goal.
He took too long and too many touches. Cummings was going absolute apeshit.
Was it also Cummings that had the shot that Gordon had to save from?
I'm not sure, but it was a good save. There wasn't a lot of power in it, but it was finding a net at sort of, you know, in at the post side netting. So, you know, if he doesn't get there, it's definitely going in. So, but we followed it up, you know. But I think it was Boyata get in there and cleared it away. So, they started to get a wee bit of the game without being overly threatening. You know, they had a couple of chances, but nothing, you know, where we were sort of clearing it off the goal or anything like that. But so there was always that threat that, you know, they're still in it. And I can't really remember us having much more chances up to the point where we got the second goal. Like I say, the half was, we were so dominant early on, and then they got a bit back in. Before I knew it, I was looking at the clock and I was like 35, 40 minutes, and I'm like, wow, that's just flown by, you know.
So then, you know, in terms of passage of play, we then score, what is it, we score 4 goals in, what, 10 minutes?
Ten minutes as the clock goes, aye.
So talk us through the second goal.
Well, the second goal, having looked it back, it was quite similar in the way the ball was played to Dembele's second last year in the 5-1.
That's what I was thinking of as he came through. You're thinking, Dembele managed to score from this position. I wonder if you're going to be as good.
The only difference was the two Rangers players sort of running alongside him, trying to push him wide, as opposed to Dembele had Senderos coming in at an angle and then ended up in his arse. But I think the Rangers players probably thought they'd done enough to push him out wide enough, but what a finish. Absolutely unbelievable. He had nowhere to put it other than where he put it.
It was brilliant.
If he plays it high, the keeper's probably saving it. You know, if he's playing it in the near post, he's more likely saving it. He's basically fun. A 1 yard box where, you know, a gap, it was the only place that he could put it to actually score.
I'll put it on Blaise.
Okay.
Was that maybe your best ever day in football?
C'était peut-être le, la meilleure journée de ta vie en football aujourd'hui.
Ouais, c'est sûr. Je vais m'en rappeler toute ma vie parce que c'est mon premier titre de champion.
Certainly because I'm gonna remember this all my life because it's my first title, no, championship title.
Well, if I could ask you, just English, very, just a small bit, how do you feel at the moment now that you've secured the win against Rangers?
Et il demande si tu peux faire un peu d'anglais et sinon, et comment tu te sens maintenant et le faire avec contre Rangers.
En anglais, en français.
Si tu peux en anglais, vas-y.
Français. Voilà, je suis vraiment content. Je pars du match de l'équipe et de mon match personnel. Maintenant, gagner ce titre contre Rangers devant nos fans, ça peut être que une satisfaction pour nous et un grand plaisir.
Obviously, I'm very happy for the team and for myself, and to be able to win the title against Rangers in front of our fans, which is a pleasure for everyone.
His friend Moussa was not playing. Did Moussa inspire him before the game? Did Moussa speak to him?
Et ton ami Moussa, il n'était pas, il a pas joué aujourd'hui. Alors c'est lui que peut-être t'a donné l'inspiration pour jouer comme ça aujourd'hui.
Ouais, toujours avec Moussa on se parle sur tous les matchs. On essaie de s'aider les uns les autres en fonction de nos qualités. Et voilà, t'as tous les matchs on s'encourage. Et il m'envoie un message pour m'encourager avant le match et après la vérité elle est sur le terrain.
Me and Moussa, we speak a lot. We speak match by match, and every match we usually talk to each other before the match, whomever's playing, you know. But yeah, he had a message of encouragement just before the game, and they usually talk on a regular basis anyway.
Hodgson, Moussa scored a hat-trick in this game last season. You scored 2 goals in the first half. Were you hoping that you would maybe be able to score 3 goals when you came out for the second half?
Et Moussa il a marqué hat-trick l'année passée. Alors quand t'as marqué 2 buts et tu vas là dans le deuxième mi-temps, tu croyais que tu pouvais peut-être marquer le troisième?
Chaque match est différent. Ce que Moussa a fait la saison dernière, c'était extraordinaire. J'avais suivi le match. Maintenant aujourd'hui, c'est un autre match dans un autre contexte. Ça veut dire qu'on prend les matchs les uns après les autres. Et voilà, j'ai joué comme je sais le faire et à la fin, on a gagné. En tant qu'attaquant, j'ai marqué, c'est le principal.
Every match is different. What Moussa has done last season is extraordinary. But this match is a different environment, is a different context. And I just went out there and did what I know how to do and play my game. Happy to be on the score sheet, you know. And in the end, we've won the game. So that's what's important.
This experience in helping Celtic win what was your first title have any bearing on your future, and will it make you want to stay here and play on with Celtic?
L'expérience d'avoir gagné le titre avec le Celtic, et ça veut dire quoi pour ton futur? Et ça veut dire quelque chose? Ça veut dire que tu vas rester ici? Ça veut dire que ça veut dire quoi pour ton futur?
Voilà, comme je l'ai dit, le plus important c'était gagner le championnat, ce qu'on a fait aujourd'hui. Maintenant, la saison n'est pas encore finie, il nous reste encore la coupe à aller chercher et on discutera à la fin de saison.
So, what's most important is we've won the title today. The season is not over. We still have a Scottish Cup, and hopefully after that, you know, then there will be time for discussing options.
What does his heart say?
C'est quoi qui dit ton cœur?
Mon cœur. Ah, j'aime ce club, hein. Franchement, j'aime ce club. Voilà, maintenant, si ça tiendra à moi, je serai resté ici. Après, comme j'ai dit, la décision ne m'appartient pas.
Et après quoi?
La décision ne m'appartient pas.
So, I love this club. I love this club, and if the decision was up to me, I would like to stay. But then the decision is not, I can only do so much, you know.
Okay, thank you.
So you're thinking 2-0 half time, that's job done, you know, it's just about seeing it out in the second half. But when we got into the next goal, it starts with a Gordon shocking kick out. And if Ayer doesn't get there, then the Rangers players one-on-one with Gordon.
Aye, yeah.
So for an absolute, you know, breezing the first half, Gordon's almost gave away, you know, a potential sort of one-on-one. Doesn't guarantee the kid's got to score, but Ayer done well to sort of get his foot on it. And I think it went out to Tierney and then into Ian Charm. So, I was quite lucky. I just remember thinking at the time there was the guy next to me again was going absolute apeshit at Gordon. By the time he'd calmed down, Forrest was on the ball with about three or four guys in front of him. It was almost it was like the Winter Olympics, the slalom. You know, they just the way he cut in and out of three Rangers players, and as the force closing them down, he's smashed it, and it was just absolute bedlam where we were. I'd imagine it was the same where you were as well.
It was a brilliant goal, absolutely fantastic goal, you know, to twist in and out. I mean, granted, what would, you know, those, the Forrest and the Edouard goal in quick succession both came down the left back position where Declan John's out injured, Lee Wallace is finished with Rangers, so they're playing Andy Halliday at left back, you know, so they're playing an absolute diddy in a position that he can't play. So yep. it was a double whammy of a diddy who'd been humiliated 2 weeks earlier playing in a position that he's not very good at.
I think when Forrest was up against Declan John, I think he struggled to get past him. You know, he played well against him, but he never really got past him. And I think that's why Forrest had such a good game today, because he was up against somebody who didn't have the pace that he's got and that burst of sort of first 10 yards. But there's a difference when you get a penalty in these games and you score for a penalty. The celebration's never the same as it is when you score a goal like that, you know, where it's just, you're not expecting it and it's just absolutely smashed in.
And for those people who weren't at the game, actually at the second goal, but even more so at the third goal, they started to leave already at that point. Yes. You could see them going.
Yeah, when the third hit, I started to see some of them leaving. So it was brilliant first half. You know, we get away with a couple of daft mistakes, but, you know, I thought Boyata and Ayer at the back were outstanding. I thought Lustig had a good game as well. There was no mistakes. I think it was all pretty basic stuff at the back. There was no...
Boyata had some great passes.
Yeah, there was no fanning about at the back, whereas sometimes we get a bit...
Well, there was in the last sort of 10 minutes.
Yeah, when the game's done, you know, right. But I'm talking in the sort of the important part of the game, when the game's to be won, there was definitely no mistakes. Really.
So did you see Lustig putting the policeman's helmet on? Because I saw it, you know, on the big screens when they're doing the replays, the first replay, and it goes through, and I turned to my brother and I said, Lustig's wearing the hat again. And then they show it again. That's it, he's wearing the policeman's hat. He's got the policeman's hat on.
I didn't know this. I didn't have Wi-Fi in that stadium until I actually got out of the stadium. So I didn't know anything about this until I got home. But he's a bit a whack job, isn't he?
Well, do you know, so one of my mates who's a Rangers fan, even he has sent me a message tonight saying Strathclyde Police, or obviously showing their age, calling the Strathclyde Police, have had a humour bypass. He said, I may think Lustig's a dick, but you got to say, he's just having a laugh with his supporters.
Well, I mean, he's got form in this, isn't he? Remember the one where he... in the 5-1, he's picked up a bus beach ball and stuck it in his head. Just what gets through this guy's head, you know? Everybody else is running to the player, he's celebrating, he's running to a cop to steal his hat.
He may have his faults as a player, and he's not the greatest player, but in games against Rangers, I love when we win, I love Lustig, because he's always doing something like that. And for those who don't know, Police Scotland have tonight said that they're very disappointed that Lustig did that with the policeman's hat, and they've contacted Celtic, who said they'll deal with it directly, to which probably Celtic have then said, you know, a bit like
Have you seen the tweet Celtic put out?
No, I was going to say a bit like if your neighbour comes to the door and was to complain about your kid and you think your neighbour's an arsehole, you'd probably go, oh yeah, 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 close the door and then burst out laughing.
They've tweeted, after that Police Scotland tweet came out, Celtic have tweeted a picture of the Celtic players celebrating, and it's, you can see Lustig with the Polish hat, and they've done a wee emoji policeman and a wee laughing face with the tears. So that's Celtic dealt with internally, I think.
Exactly. Probably said, well done.
Do you know what? The copper was probably laughing about it because you could actually see him sort of extending his hand as if to sort of give him a high five or something, or a fist pump or something daft like that, you know? So, just humour bypass. It's almost as if they've got to be seen. They've had that. They've probably had complaints.
Oh, they'll have raging Huns. Will have probably phoned 999 wanting to know why Lustig wasn't arrested and stuff like that.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I think
for
the celebrations, you quite enjoyed your goal out there.
Yeah, it was long overdue, I think, but no, absolutely delighted with the performance, with the result, and obviously me scoring as well. So that was a great day all round.
Did you see me call
stick
with the policeman's hat on?
No, I heard about it after, but that's maybe it gets a wee bit carried away at times, but it's not, it's good. But I think you can do that when you start well and put in a good performance, and you see not all the boys were at it and hungry right for the start.
You've waited a long time for that goal, James. I mean, it just caps a brilliant season for you.
Yeah, no, I've been delighted with the full season, the way it's went, and obviously scoring today it was incredible, like, for me personally and for the team. So just want to keep the momentum going now for the next couple of games going into the cup final.
Does that goal keep your brother quiet now?
Yeah, I think so. He's been at me for a wee while now. So obviously delighted to score and obviously to contribute today and obviously get 3 points, clean sheet, and obviously scoring a lot of goals. So just delighted all round.
Did he give you a wee message before the game?
Yeah, no, they said he's a goal today, so I managed to do that, so I'm buzzing.
Did you sense for the lack of recognised left back, there was an opportunity there for you
today? No, I think obviously, you know, you're playing against Rangers, like they've got good players, so no matter who plays, it's going to be a hard game, but we always just focus on ourselves, so we don't obviously give the opposition respect, but we know that if we turn up like with hunger and that we know we can, like we can do that to any team. So yeah, no, I'm just as I said, like delighted for everyone in the squad and delighted for the team today.
You've been in at the start from 7 in a row, homegrown player. I mean, that's particularly special for you.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and then obviously to win it today at home and in front of the fans is incredible. You've seen the atmosphere right from kickoff right to the end, like when they stood behind as well. So no, it's obviously it's tremendous. Like, it's like a dream coming through and playing as many games and titles and that's what you want to do. And I think it just keeps you like hungry to keep winning more when you see everyone like today.
Could you ever imagine that when you were coming through the youth teams, that you know you'd be part of a 7 in a row?
No, like I always remember like coaches, like first team coaching that as well, like coming through the youth. I think like not many players that make it, especially like a big club at Celtic, like very very few do coming right through. So yeah, no, you obviously the dream is like to make your debut, and then after that you just keep wanting more, and so I just want to just keep going.
Was there not a point 2 or 3 years ago, James, when you actually thought you might not still be at Celtic?
I think that was maybe made a wee bit more than what it actually was. I think my contract was like down to the last 6 months. Like as you said, I maybe could have, but in my head I always wanted to stay here. And once the gaffer came in, like, just made that clear, and I was buzzing. Like, I think kind of no look back since like signed that deal and just got that out of the way. And as I said, it's a top club, Celtic, and it's massive. And to stay here for as long as you can and keep working hard, then that's what I want to keep doing.
Who are the people you think of right now in terms of influence and what you've achieved?
definitely, you say, like, obviously youth coaches and that as well, but Lennon for giving me my debut, because like not a lot of managers like give young players debut. So yeah, definitely Lennon, obviously my family as well, and just international coaches. There's so many, so it's I don't really think it's fair to like just name one or two, but yeah, like can't do it without your family, and then obviously Lennon, the gaffer, is that as well. So there has been a lot of good influence on me, and you just need to like take that experience and try and work with that.
Obviously,
Thank you.
Half time, what were you thinking at half time?
I just try to get my breath back, to be honest, because you're at 1-0, you know, and the game had kind of, it levelled out a wee bit, and obviously then they get the two quick fire goals. It was just try to get my head into it, you know. It was just bedlam up where we were. I was one of the reasons why I didn't see the image of Lustig with the police hat. It was just because I was under bodies and I couldn't find my seat. It was just nuts, to be honest. But I just remember thinking to myself, just, you know, if we grab an early one, like we spoke about the other night, if we grab an early one, you know, and make it four, then it could be anything at all. You know, it could be six and sevens, really. And then obviously I was looking at my tickets, hoping to win that £25,000 windfall. Do you know, I don't think I've ever had a letter, never mind close to it. In the 20
oh, years don't worry, because you said you're in an all stand upper.
Aye.
Nobody. I don't think they put no stand-upper tickets in. So I've been in that seat now for 23 years. I think there's two people that I'm aware of have won in the North Stand-Upper. It's too much a pain in the arse for them to get somebody from the North Stand-Upper down. I always say I'm being a bit facetious before somebody thinks I'm being serious. But
oh, I bought two tickets, so, you know, that's £4 in the Swanee for me then. But I never buy the thing, to be honest, but I just thought £25,000, why not, you know?
You know, I particularly like the fact that in a get it up you, we've, you know, loads of money styly.
We're giving away £25,000.
We put the prizes up just for playing them, because they don't know that it's normally half that amount.
I know.
So we put it up to £25,000 just for them, so just to rub their noses in it. For every £7,000 that they have in a windfall draw, we'll have 25.
Well, I've heard their windfall, isn't it? You don't get all the cash. It's in vouchers for a store and stuff like that, and to go to their, is it the Argyle House and all that sort of stuff for your dinner?
The Argyle Arcade, where you get a free Andy Halliday.
Just a free Andy Halliday comes in and does
it. It's not a miniature thing. You actually get Andy Halliday for free if you win it. He comes round and does your cleaning for you, and then misses.
He must have been absolutely fizzing on that park today.
I'm surprised
he didn't half somebody. He must have been close
when he went to take some throw-ins, and the Celtic fans were singing his name. Must have just been. Oh, he just must have been loving that.
I know. They were singing it on the way out the stadium and all, and I thought, why are we singing his name still? Honestly, we've just won 5-0, we're singing an opposing player's name. It's nuts. It's funny.
So, obviously, one of the dilemmas that the Rangers fans would have had at half-time was, do you stay or do you go?
Yes.
What would you have done? I mean, obviously, I mean, this is the thing. For a start, that's the biggest victory by Celtic in the league against a team who play out of Ibrox ever in history. So again, we're seeing history, and despite our darkest times in the early 90s, we were never this shit.
It was funny you mentioned that, because I was trying to think back to a time in that period where we were that bad, and I remember we were 3-0 down at half time. I think we were 2-0 down after 5 minutes under Lou McCarry. It's at a 93-94 New Year. And I remember we actually finished the game 4-2. So in my mind, we came out and we won the second half. It was a case of we're no taking a tanking, but we weren't good enough, obviously, on the day. And there was a couple of games where there's been the occasional 5-1 or whatever, but I don't think they were like, this has been a consecutive, you know, drubbing. And I was trying to have a look to see how many times Celtic have beat a team called Rangers by 4 clay goals, and I don't think it's that many. It's probably about 10 or 11, and Brendan Rodgers has done 4 of them.
Well, 4-0 has only happened against either Rangers has only happened once in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And I'm 48 in July. So it's, I know it was last week or two weeks. That's the only time it's happened.
You meant other than I.
No, so, you know, we were never, honestly, for the younger listener, if there are, you know, whoever you are out there, we were never, ever this shite.
No.
Ever.
Apparently, I seen a Rangers tweet getting retweeted, and it said something along the lines of, we've conceded more goals against Celtic this season than Walter Smith's 9-in-a-row team did in the whole 90s. I, you know, so I think it worked out. We'd only scored like 10 or 11 goals or something.
Yeah.
In that whole period, Walter Smith was in charge. It's brilliant. I mean, anybody that says, you know, they'll never get used to it, or, you know, or they'll get bored of these kind of games. I think you just look at the fans and you look at some of the nonsense that they tweet and some of the headlines for some of the journals, and you just think, do you know what? I'll take that every single week. It's absolutely brilliant.
So let's go on.
Second half, I noticed that they came out early. It was almost as if they got an arse kicking and told to get out there and do something about it.
Well, it was only after the game that somebody pointed out to me, because you're not really paying attention, you're just marvelling at the fact that we're 3-0 up.
Yeah.
Their players didn't come and warm up at half time. They had no players out.
That's right, because we were on that side of the park.
Mm-hmm. So they had nobody out at half time warming up for the second half. So they come out and you're thinking, right, okay. Again, it's a bit like, you know, obviously, because Rangers are, let's be realistic, if I think of the teams that we played in Scottish football this season, we're obviously in a different class to everybody else. And then Hibs are clearly the second best team, certainly in the second half. Then it's Kilmarnock, then Aberdeen. The way the teams have played, you know, since about October, November, then Aberdeen. Yeah. Aberdeen and Rangers are neck and neck for their pishness. But they're a mid-table team.
Yeah.
And so mid-table teams have got that dilemma when 3-0 down at Celtic Park. Do you come out in the second half and just avoid a doing, or do you come out and try and go for it to try and get a goal back and see what happens, or do you just get a doing? So they decided to do neither of those and just come out and continue to be pish.
They never really get a chance to think about that, to be honest. I remember thinking to myself, I think if McGregor get a chance and the keeper saves it and it kind of ricocheted off him, and I think it was Candace was dreaming and Tierney's nicked it off him and he's been brought down, and I remember thinking, surely that's a penalty, and it's dropped to Rodric, and the keeper's standing sort of way to the right hand side of his goal, but quite far out. And there's this big, huge gap in the goal, and Rodric's almost—it's almost as if I may as well stick it in, you know. And it was just a surreal. It was as if time slowed down when Rodric picked up the ball, and it was almost as if I may as well.
and this is the thing about it: they all sort of stood still for it, and I've subsequently, you know, the first time I got to see the goals. After seeing them live, was somebody had retweeted the second four, they missed the first goal,
yeah,
of the Rangers TV commentary. Yes. And Tom Miller, what's the goalie doing fame, he's actually saying everybody, I can't remember exactly how he worded it, but more or less, everybody stopped because they were expecting a penalty.
Yes.
It was almost like he was complaining that Rogic got to score because it should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
Stephen Thompson wasn't playing advantage. He wasn't going to give the penalty. Craig Thompson. Yeah. Craig Thompson wasn't going to give the penalty.
No, because when Rodric stuck it in the net, he put his arms out as if to say, you know, that's why I allowed it to go on, because it was so clear an opportunity. I don't think he would have given the penalty if Rodric gets closed down or loses it or does nothing with it. But it looked like a clear penalty to me, but, you know, I'll take the goal, to be honest. But then you'd have liked to have seen Edouard had a hat-trick, so, you know, I'm not really bothered either way. It was a good finish, to be fair. Keeper was miles from it. It was crazy how far over he was.
Aye. So, you know, you, at that point, you're in dreamland, aren't you? Because it's 3-0, we come straight out of the second half, and my only concern was that we would then just sort of pass the ball to death in the second half, and, you know, not criticising the team for it.
Those who were hovering with the thought of going home at half time were definitely going home at that point. That's when the exodus started, when they all started leaving. There started to be big gaps in the the Rangers end.
Absolutely, which then all of this reaffirms the point that I made to Les Gray, of the former Police Federation guy, who I know won't be listening to this podcast, but in the event, if somebody knows him, if they can just get this small section to him, get it right up you, because it was never a league decider. There was no binary outcome from this game that could have been played last week. It was Celtic will either be champions or they'll be champions next week. And you just knew if we played at the way that, you know, I wish we could play them every week, but if we were playing the way that we've been playing them since they were formed again, that we were going to win the league against them. It'd be pretty comfortable and their fans would just go home meekly. And that's what happened.
I think they had enough time to sort of, with that half time and they two quick fire goals, they had enough time to let it sink in that this was going to be a soaring, you know, for them. So, but the reason, you've mentioned that Les Gray guy, was it, he said that he wouldn't leave his house on a day like the day, you know, that's the sort of nonsense that you're getting, to be honest. So, but at that point, you know, they're starting to leave. And then before they've got a chance, for the ones who are thinking, should I stay or should I go, they shouldn't. They didn't really get much time else to think about it because we'd had the fifth in about the 53rd minute.
So, talk us through the fifth.
You've caught me on a loop there. I'm trying to remember it. Does that mean it goes?
Well, the fifth was... I'm trying to remember the fifth as well.
Edward made the byline.
Edward to the byline. Once again, we get to the byline and we score a goal.
Yeah, and it wasn't like the full cutback and it wasn't like right to the keeper. There was a slight angle on it coming back. And it was almost carbon copy of the goal Edward scored. It was, although this time it was McGregor with hardly anybody running about him. So, but my boy was said to his, who scored that? I says it was Carl McGregor. He says, no, the guy said it was Tom McGregor. So I need to check that out.
No, he said it was Carl McGregor. He just said it. He just said it in the overly dramatic fashion that he does.
Annoys me.
So at that point, it's 5-0 with nearly 40 minutes to go.
Well, I put it on Twitter the night, the guy sitting next to me, as soon as it went 5-0, he had his phone out and he wasn't concentrating in the game, he was scrambling for a signal. And I said to him, I said, what's up? And he's like, I'm trying to get logged into my betting app. I says, is this the score you've got up? He's like, aye, I'm going to try and cash out. I've got 5-0 on at 50-1. He's like, there's no fucking way, this is Stein 5-0, we're going to score another barrel load. But he couldn't get access to it, right? So I says, well, why don't you phone your missus and get her to log in? He's like, not a chance, that's my secret stash, there's 600 quid in there now. we're getting married in 3 weeks, so she's not getting to know about this. And there's another 300 quid again in if this score stays the same.
Paul, who sits too long for me, was getting very excited because he had Celtic to score 7 at 250-1.
Jesus. But you know what? It could have been and should have been.
If it wasn't for their keeper, it would have been.
Yeah.
The BBC highlights tonight, I think, only showed one of his two great saves.
We kind of went... When we hit the fifth, we kind of went all over the shop a wee bit. We were kind of a bit ragged, and I think we just thought, I think we got a bit complacent with it, you know, or it's too easy kind of thing, you know. But
I think it's also that mentality of course, the players are flying out to Tenerife tonight, and I'm sure, you know, it's penciled in as a warm weather training camp. I'm pretty certain it's penciled in as a piss up couple of days to celebrate winning 7 in a row titles. Mocked up as a warm weather training camp. So they were then just thinking, we've won the league and we're going to Tenerife tonight.
Aye, basically. But no, that's the thing, they're all young guys, aren't they? So that's where the focus automatically switches to.
From that point, we could have won a couple of goals, and then from that point on, the only other bits of fun were Morelos, who couldn't score even when we farted around and gave him the chance, and the Celtic fans were, oh, and then he missed.
That's right. I think somebody came in with a last-ditch clearance, but he's just no composure, that boy, has he? Not at this level.
No.
And he'll score goals. He'll score goals all day against this bottom six.
Chris Bond.
You know? Aye. But when the pressure's on and it's the headlines and the stars align, you know, it just doesn't have it in him.
So then I think there was about 1,500, 2,000 max Rangers fans there at the very end, maybe about 1,500 or something. There was a last, you know, like the band on the Titanic as it's going down, 89th minute, the wee rendition of God Save the Queen.
Ah, oh, good. Did you know, have you seen their shirts? Did they have a congratulations for Kate and William on at this time? No?
No, I didn't see that.
See if it was, I just wish they called Dwayne Edward.
Yeah, that would have been brilliant. So that was the game.
Delightful.
It was a magic game, and we'll do a season review podcast at some point coming up. I think it's a bit unfortunate that Celtic's own internal goal of the season's already been awarded, because I think Forrest, my favourite was Forrest's goal.
Yeah, it just felt it felt like the most celebrated, because it came on the back of a goal just before, and because it was so unexpected, the way he's weaved in the defence and then smashed it. It was almost as if for the minute he hit it, I didn't see it again until it actually hit the net. And it was just like an explosion. And I think the way it was celebrated with the supporters, it just felt like a bigger goal, if you know what I mean, or a better goal. It just had that about it. Like I'm saying, if you score a penalty, you know, you still celebrate it, but not in the same manner that you do with a goal like that. It was in the only thing it would have bettered, it would have been like a long range sort of Kieran Tierney type shot against Kilmarnock that would have blown the roof off the place, you know.
So who was your man of the match? I mean, for me personally, it's difficult to pick. I thought Forrest was fantastic. I thought Callum McGregor in his tidy way was great. Rogic was good.
Was excellent.
Tierney, Edouard, fantastic. So who was your man of the match?
I thought Cham was excellent as well.
Oh yeah, Cham was...
He's a role... See, when he's on it, he's like a Rolls Royce in there, isn't he? He just cruises through. And he always gets that ball away before the guy gets to him. It's almost as if anybody gets close to him, they think, I've got him, and then all of a sudden the ball's away, and you're like, oh my God, you know, I've just closed him down and it's gone already.
And there's been some criticism of late for Brendan Rodgers, some of his signings, you know, that it's principally we're playing with Ronnie Dyla's team.
Yes.
And but I think you can put two ticks in his signing for Ncham. And Edouard's looking like a player?
Yes. I never thought that Edouard was getting much of a chance. I think when he was coming in, the team, it was in games where the team wasn't really up for it, you know, or and maybe a bit like a lacklustre performance. And sometimes you're looking at him and you're thinking, can he play up on his own? But I think the day proved, and I think he played against up on his own against the Hearts, where he scored running through, and obviously there was the hat trick against, was it Motherwell? I thought he was excellent today. I thought he shaded it. You know, there was six or seven just behind him, but I thought they got the man of the match in the stadium right. I thought the guy was outstanding. He took his two goals brilliantly. And he set up, you know, a goal as well for McGregor. I just thought he caused him absolute havoc. To me, he's like a mixture of Dembele and Griffiths, where he likes to, you know, he's good at holding it up, but he's a sniffer as well. He'll sniff a goal out inside the 6-yard box, and he'll make the runs down the channels where Dembele maybe not necessarily does.
So
he'll maybe bring it in, lay it off, and then make a run on the back of that, you know.
So at the time that we signed him, there was talk of it being a £7 million fee, and then since then it's there's been various figures bandied about, people saying it's not quite seven, it's a lot lower than that, with add-ons it could eventually get to seven, and then Brendan's been very coy on it, but Brendan post-game, as we'll hear on here, was talking effusively about the qualities of Edouard. So two questions for you. Would you sign him? And if you would sign him, what do you think is the sort of top end of what we should be?
If we're signing Edouard, it's because we're probably selling Dembele. So even if it was at the higher end, the 6, 7 or 8, I would like to think that we would still sign him, because we're going to sell Dembele from 18 million and above. That's just the, it's that, you know, you sell big but you buy bigger than you normally would to replace, so to speak. So, but I think realistically, I think if we get him for 5 or 6, I think we're doing a good job at getting him for that kind of money. Because if we don't take him, guaranteed some sort of near top end French clubs taking him.
Absolutely.
You know?
So,
or one of the top Belgian clubs are taking him.
But the other thing that will look good for us as well, if we have signed him barely, added value to him, and we sell him for 20, 25, 30 million quid in the summer, and then he goes on to play for the French first team, then that's great. If they, he's then followed by Edouard, who follows a similar route,
yeah,
you're just broadening who you can go for. So, so
well, that's what the big Portuguese and the big Dutch clubs have been doing for years. You know, come to us, we'll give you a platform, and we'll find you a big club with a big wage. You know, that's kind of, use us as your you know, stepping stone to a bigger league, so to speak.
So, one final question.
Yes.
Are we going to play the reserves next week against Hearts, or are we going to play the first team with hangovers?
I think it'll be a mixture. I think you'll maybe start to see Sinclair come back into the team. I think you'll start to see maybe a boy Kouassi, Keen Brown arrest. But I think by the time we get back round to the Aberdeen game, and I think we want to be getting close to back to the first team, you know, that we're going to play in the cup final. So I think the next couple of games, Kilmarnock, Hearts away and then Kilmarnock at home.
Yeah.
I definitely think, you know, mix it up a bit. Don't go too crazy. Maybe 4-5 max, say, the sort of players that have played the last couple of games, and freshen up a bit. Get Roberts back in, get, you know, Sinclair back in, Griffiths, give him a run out, you know, maybe keep Edwards in the team, give him a run, you know. So that's what I think.
All right. Yeah. Okay, well, I will say with that, I'll speak to you again soon. We're going to do more podcasts anyway. So I will let you go on to your night's viewing and relaxing.
Yeah. And I've had a full day of watching and observing Twitter and the football and being at the Celtic game, so my missus will kill me if I spend any more time watching football or talking about football.
Right, okay, well, I better let you go then. I'll say good night, Stephen.
Catch you later. Thanks.
Yes, bye.
So you're
no
welcome.
Struggling, aye. So, especially in a game like that, you know, it takes it right out of you. But you know, these are the games you want to play, and these are the days that, you know, you love for as a footballer.
Did you have a decision made before kickoff?
Or no, just struggling in general. But you know, I was never going to pull it today. You know, as I said, these games are the ones you want to play in. You know, especially to go and finish the league off as well.
Were you the only one that was struggling about? Were there a few of them?
No, there's a few. I think there's a wee bug going a bit, but there's a few boys as well. You know, KT, Tom as well. So a few boys kind of struggling with the cold. But
what would you do if you were all fully fit then? I'll
let you answer that.
I mean, the energy you showed, you were pretty rampant out there.
Yeah, I think it was important after last week, you know, the disappointment. I thought we were kind of waiting on it a wee bit last week, and, you know, credit to Hibs, they showed up and sort of outworked us as well and got their results. So I think it was sort of big concentration. We knew exactly how big the game was, the emotion in the game, and we knew that if we did the basics right and you know, sort of outworked them and really got on top of them, then, you know, we would win the game.
You'd have taken 1-0 with a fluke winner, but I mean, 5-0 is proper style, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we did it last year at Hearts as well. You know, we finished it in style, and again today I think we knew exactly what was riding on the game in terms of supporters and, you know, for us in here as well. So it was a real sort of big performance to mark a special day.
You've
got
quite an impressive scoring record against Rangers,
you must
have enjoyed that.
Yeah, again, delighted to get another goal. As you say, starting to get a wee bit of a record against them now, so it's always something you sort of look out, teams you've scored against or did well against, then, you know, you feel sort of confident going into the next one. So just off the back of the semi-final, you know, I was confident going in that if I got a chance I would score. Exactly, yeah, he's the great record as well. You know, delighted for him again, another goal today, and you know, you could see the goals were sort of spread throughout the team again today, so excellent performance for the boys.
Is this just captain breakthrough season for Newcastle?
Yeah, I think you know, you put in big performances and, you know, it gives you that confidence to grow and keep getting even better. So I think for me, as you say, another sort of step on the ladder, and, you know, just to keep working hard and keep trying to get even better and, you know, performing big games again.
I mean, it's massive credit to you as a player. There's games this season you played a left back, you're centre midfield, you're number 10, or you've been wide left as of today. Mm-hmm. So as a player, you've really come on.
Yeah, exactly. I think, as you know, as the manager's come in, he's really learned as a game in terms of tactically, and, you know, to see different positions and see what's required. So I think the fact that he sort of trusts me to go in there and play in different positions is great as well. You know, that's what you want for your manager, to show that trust in you, and, you know, all I can do is keep trying to repay, you know, what he sees in me.
Manager says you're his Philip Lamb. What player would you prefer to be compared to?
Tom Rodgett.
When you look at the gap at the top, Calum, how realistic is 10 in a row?
I think it's, you know, I think we've done great so far, but, you know, you're never too far away. If you think, well, let's look at 10, then, you know, you can slip up and get complacent, you know. So I think it was a prime example last week. I think everybody thought, oh, we'll turn up and win the league, but, you know, if you're not quite at it, then, you know, you see what happens, you lose the game. So I think it's about the players staying as hungry as they can and, you know, coming back in after the season's finished, and then, you know, to go again and, as you say, try and get that 10. But we know exactly how hard that is, and the demands that the manager puts on us. You know, we seem to be getting better every year, but we've got to keep working.
It's the quality of players we're playing today, which gives you great encouragement that you can go and get even stronger.
Yeah, exactly. I think the strength of this has always been our squad, you know, and you see again there's boys not getting on that are, you know, top talents as well. So I think that ultimately drives the standard up as well. You know, boys in training really at it, trying to get a game, and boys that are in the team want to stay in the team, so it shows that real hunger as well.
When you think it got to 5-0 after 50 odd minutes, was there not a feeling this could have gone on to 6 or 7 or 8 among you guys?
I think so. I think, you know, when it gets to 5, you don't want to sort of let up in the game, but credit to them, you know, they put on another striker and sort of got back into the game a wee bit, but you know, we were happy with 5, you know, it's comfortable in the end for us.
Rangers are trying to bring in Stephen Gerrard as manager. You played against them at Notts County. I mean, does that impress you? Does it bother the other players in the dressing room? Are they that?
You know, I think for us, we are just solely focused on what we are doing. You know, you hear different things coming out of different clubs, but, you know, I think ultimately as a footballer at Celtic, you know, you've got to just look after yourself, and, you know, you don't listen to any noise that's coming from anywhere else. And I think that's the reason why we've been so good and so successful, is, you know, everybody in here is focused on what our job is.
Is that the message, Callum? Everybody will go away in the summer, all the other clubs will go away in the summer and try and strengthen and try and come up with ways to get closer to Celtic. The message from Celtic would be,
yeah, exactly. You can see, you know, the manager, since he's come in, he's been relentless, and I think you can see that in the performance levels of the players. You know, everybody's went to another level, and you know, he's putting that demand on you every day. There's no lazy days, and I think when you work like that, you know, the only way is to get better. So
can you go up again?
I think so. I think there's still levels for us to go in terms of squad and, you know, personally as well. You know, everybody can always get better, and I think that'll be the aim. You know, as I said, the manager's on our cases every day to get better, and hopefully we will.
Would another big for you personally, would it be establishing yourself in the Scotland team as well? I mean, would the end of season tour be figuring in your thinking as well?
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously we've got a conversation to have with both managers in terms of what they want us to do, and, you know, things like that. So I think we'll sort of take counsel for every day, and, you know, and see where we're at with that, and in terms of the quick turnaround with the season coming back, and, you know, straight into Champions League games as well. So you know, we've still sort of take counsel on that, but you know, it's definitely something that I'd look to.
Okay.
Just
thanks, Callum.
Brendan, congratulations.
Thank
you. Just sum up the feeling and the emotion after a game like that.
Well, these games are full of emotion, aren't they? And but we said to the players beforehand that we obviously know the consequence of the game and all the historical facts around it, and Celtic Rangers winning here and Celtic to win for the first time in 39 years. But I said to them that, listen, you've got to play football. And our basic rules of today were very simple. It was to attack with real aggression and intensity. Try and recover the ball as quick as we can when we lose it. And if you can't do that, then make sure you're tight and compact. And then, and like I say, and look to dominate as much of the ball as you can. And give it your best shot. and I don't think I could have asked for any more of the players. They were absolutely brilliant and yeah, really proud.
Huge, a dominant display, but for the supporters as well, a fantastic occasion.
Yeah, these games are highly, you know, they're really, really highly emotive games, so so obviously both sets of supporters, they want their team to do well, so but for us and our fans today, it was a special day for them to have wrapped up the title. We had a performance last year away at Hearts to win the league, and really pleased and how the players cope with that pressure and that expectancy to then go and stay as calm as they did but play with that intent in the game was really pleasing, and obviously the supporters responded to that.
Was it for days like this that you decided to become Celtic manager?
Not just this year. I think it's obviously a club that I know very, very well, and there won't be too many atmospheres like there was today around the world. You know, this is a, you know, it's a wonderful football club. Celtic Rangers games are, like I say, they're renowned throughout the world for a reason, and for reasons like today. So real special atmosphere, and great that we can make the supporters happy.
Does the day like today, the performance or that, send a message that doesn't matter how many titles you win, there's no let up?
Yeah, no, that was key. It's very important that if you want to sustain it, you have to have that hunger and the intensity. And like I say, I think last weekend, probably a little bit of the 4-0 semi-final crept into our game last week, and we weren't quite on it. But we talked about that, reflected on it, and pointed it out in our training in the week that we can't play like that. That's not what we're about. You know, we're about running hard and fast and aggressive, and then when we do that, we give ourselves a chance to create lots of opportunities. So it's like today we scored 5 and it was probably going on 7 or 8. You know, their keeper made some great saves, so but now it's a great tribute really to the work of the players and the scrutiny that they're under to perform like that.
Were you aware of the fact that the fans were kind of thinking of a record score like?
No, what is the record score?
I think 7-1. Right.
Well, we should
have. Were you aware of that?
I wasn't. No. We should have done. We should have had 7. But like I say, we'll take 5.
I think 5-0 is a record league scoreline.
Yeah. Well, listen. The performance it was outstanding. It was, you know, you think of what the players put into the game. And this title this year is definitely better than last, even though we went unbeaten last year. I think probably when I came in last year, there was expectation, of course, but to then have had this season and then to come into this season with virtually very little break, to then go and perform like we've done for quite a number of games under pressure, we've did that very, very well. You see the pitch today, where I'm always crying about having a fast pitch, and the ground staff are doing a brilliant job here in terms of getting that. So the speed of our game is good today, and like I say, that makes for how we want to play.
Does it send out a message as well, kind of irrespective of what happens elsewhere, whatever change may happen at Celtic, are going to be tough to beat?
Well, that's always the message anyway. You know, it's one where every club you have to look to improve. You know, we'll improve next year. We have to improve. You know, this group of players are doing absolutely brilliant. But I only want to work with players that are coachable, willing to learn, and that are hungry. And I think the players now for a few days can enjoy this here. But we have a league campaign to finish, and we have a cup final which we'll really look forward to. So, but I think there's no doubt you see that intent in the players, and for us, we can only look after ourselves, and that's what we aim to do.
What did you make of Edouard's performance? Not just the goals, but the kind of way he led the line and his overall.
Yeah, he's a brilliant player. I've said before, and I think some of you guys in the media and the press were questioning really his ability. But this is a player that was brought in for a reason. You know, he's 19 years of age. He has everything, and I mean everything. Pace, power, you see his strength, his ability with the ball at his feet. You know, he's got a natural brain for football where he comes into the space. He can play off the side. And I think what he's grown into, he's become really physical this season as it's gone on. And he's adapted into how we play, the physicality of the game. And You know, his two goals and his link-up play was absolutely sensational for a young guy in that type of environment. So, no, he was brilliant. I got Lee Griffiths there as well, but I felt in the game that with probably Rangers probably wanting to come on presses. If we have to get over the top of the press, then we need someone that has got that physical strength to hold it and also to break the line. You know, if they're going to be higher up the pitch, then you get the space in behind, and he's super quick, Hudson. So that worked well for us. But it was lots of really good contributions all round, but I was delighted for him to come into a game of that magnitude and play that well.
Do you know what his situation will be come the summer? What's the chances of staying here in London?
Well, very, very good chance, hopefully. He wants to be here. And it'll be the case of hopefully we can get an agreement with the with Paris Saint-Germain. But like I said, we'll finish the season and see where we're at.
Callum McGregor was just telling us that he and a few of the other players are struggling with colds. Do you expect nothing less from them than to declare themselves available for someone?
Yeah, no, I think the likes of Brownie had been suffering. Mikael Lustig has been taking tablets, he's got a broken toe. But that's the drive that they have, and like I say, that's always important, that you get players that they want to find a way. You know, you see it a lot of football, modern day football. You know, players that sometimes hurt their fingernails and they pull themselves out. You know, if it's having the right types, that's important. You know, the right profile of player, guys that they give their best and they give everything, and we have that here. Okay, cheers. Thank you.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast. There will be more along soon. It's absolutely fantastic to be a Celtic fan at the moment. As I said in the podcast, these are historic times. We have seen in my lifetime something for the first time when we beat Rangers 4-0. We've never beaten a team from Ibrox by 4-0. First time in my lifetime we've beaten a team from Ibrox in a league game by 5-0 or 5 or more goals. And it's just continued to be absolutely marvellous to be a Celtic fan. Enjoy it. Enjoy every moment of this. Savour it. Think about it. It's brilliant, isn't it? This is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless.
Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.
never bring me any tears. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine.